Morning. Thank you for joining us out here at Grace Ranch and Grace Chapel. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Jesus, we come before you today and we ask, Lord, for your understanding, for the strength and the knowledge and your word, Lord. We thank you for these things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lord, utters his voice before
find your love on my holy mountain. Roll the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm. They rush on the city, they run on the walls. Great is the army that carries out its word. They rush on the city, they run on the walls. Great is the army that carries out his word. The Lord utters his words before his army. The Lord utters his words before his army. Oh, the trumpet in Zion, Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Roll the trumpet in Zion, Zion, sound the alarm. Roll the trumpet in Zion, Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Roll the trumpet in Zion, Zion, sound the alarm. Sound the alarm.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go over to Ephesians 6 here in a second. Before we do anything, we always have to prepare. Doesn't matter if you're going on a trip or going outside. If you're going to fly, walk, drive, or any other method of transportation, you have things you got to do to prepare beforehand. Same goes along with when you go out into the world. There are things that you need to do to prepare and make ready so that when you go out, you have all your necessary tools, items, and equipment. And for ministers and Christians, we've got one tool more than the rest of the world. We have the Word of God. And I want to go down here to Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Without having the Word of God in us, the world, when we go out into it, will sit there and try to throw everything it can at us to keep us from accomplishing our mission, which is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, the truth is the Word of God. It's the promises that Jesus Christ made to all of his followers. And it's not our righteousness that we put on. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have to come back each time, and in each one of these, you can see where the Word of God and Jesus Christ's words are so important. Without any of them, you have no armor. Without them, you have no strength. Without them, when you go out into the world, you will not be prepared for what you're going to be confronted with. The Lord wants you to be prepared. He's given us the one tool that if we believe in and believe on the words of Jesus Christ, we can be fully prepared. That's why daily, plus, you need to get into the Word of the Lord. You need to read His Word. You need to study His Word. And I say plus because once a day is great. But when a passage or something comes to mind, if you're in a position or a place where you can, find it, read it, study it, meditate on the Word of God. The Lord loves us. He didn't leave us out here and lead us out into the middle of the desert to die. It's interesting that a lot of times in the Bible, there were those who were led out into the desert. The desert's an interesting place because there's a lack of distraction. It's a place where you can focus on the Lord. And it's the reason I believe that the Lord brought me back home to the desert. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. And I hope I get this mic right this time. Is that better over there? Okay. I'm still learning. I mean, I'm still fighting with this mic. Now, all week, we have had instructions. We have had commands. We have had orders. We have our marching orders. We have our rules of engagement. We are in a war, and we have to leave here prepared to stand strong, to stand firm, and do what God has told us to do. We can't let pride interfere. If we believe, we see someone that we need to go up to and tell them about Jesus, we can't care what they think about us. We can't care if they think we're crazy. We have to stand and do what He says. Let's face it, if we go out there and start talking about Jesus and pointing out sin, we're going to be condemned. We're going to be called hate mongers, homophobes, all kinds of things like that, against women's rights. You know, we can't let that stop us. What the world calls hate is love. When you tell the truth, that's love. The world is telling us we can't speak the truth anymore. There is a, it's in Houston, there is a mayor who is openly lesbian. She just got elected. They passed a law, and they call it the bathroom law. If somebody thinks, some man thinks he's a woman, he can use the woman's bathroom and vice versa. Well, she had subpoenas passed out to five pastors in Houston demanding that they turn over all their sermons, all their correspondence with their congregation, and all their notes on anything to do with homosexuality, anything to do with that law, and even anything that was said against her. I mean, that right there, where's the First Amendment? It went out the window. Fortunately, the state's attorney stepped in and said, you've gone too far. You cannot do this. And so she's backing off saying, well, the subpoenas were too broad. So we'll see what happens. But all the pastors in Houston have banded together and said, we're not doing it, even if we are in contempt of court, even if we go to jail. And then pastors all over the country are standing with these pastors. But that's what we have to expect. Today in our court system and today in society, we don't have freedom of religion. They want it to be freedom from religion, and that's not in the Constitution.
With the incorporated church, there is no freedom of religion.
That's true. A corporate church, there's no freedom of religion. But they're even a coming against the independent churches. And fortunately, most of those are standing strong and not caving into the pressure. But as Christians, we represent the church, which is God's body. And we have to get out there and fight. We cannot give in. We can't let pride or inconvenience get in our way. If we feel we need to talk to someone, then we need to get out there and talk to someone. If we need to pray for someone, even if it's out in the middle of the mall, you go pray for that person. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear stop you. Jesus said in somewhere, Mark 8:38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I don't want Jesus to stand there on the throne and be ashamed of me. And I don't think anybody here wants that. I want him to say, thou good and faithful servant. Also in Matthew 10:33, starting with 32, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. I'd like that. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. And when you go out and you don't speak the word, you don't share the gospel with someone, you're denying him and you denied what he did. And then we have to stand before the Lord and be told that. And I don't want to see that day. You know, out here we have sometimes problems communicating because of language differences. But there's a way we can do it. And we just can't let anything stop us from doing what we've called to do. We have our marching orders. Our rules of engagement are right here in this scripture. Read the word. It tells us exactly what we need to do. And don't back down. Don't wimp out. Don't let pride stop you from doing what God's called you to do.
Strong in the Lord and the power of his name.
Praise you, Lord. A couple of things. Just one thing to kind of reiterate with what Ann's talking about, and I've experienced this. As many of you know, I happen to be an attorney, and I was at a conference of, well, a two-day workshop for criminal defense attorneys. Now, criminal defense attorneys are the folks who are constantly fighting against the state, right? Because they're trying to keep people out of jail and, you know, they're trying to say, hey, you didn't do this search right and all of these kinds of things. And it was interesting. There was over 100 attorneys at this. And during one of the breaks, I stopped for a moment. And there was this woman who was probably 60 years old. I'm guessing she was another attorney, certainly in her upper 50s. And I said to her, I said, well, as a Christian, and I began to speak, and she was like, it was an amazing. These are people who are accustomed to standing against things. She goes, I'm a Christian too. She was so terrified of anybody in that room hearing that she was a Christian. So we do live in a hostile environment. That is a truth. All right. And look, we have to be willing to stand strong in the Lord. Now, that song that you were just singing, and it's right out of the scripture, be strong, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that's one of the fundamental principles we've been talking about all week, right? Is, I mean, our might in anything. People aren't scared of us and our might. But I thought I'd give you a little picture of why, when we stand strong in the Lord and the power of His might, what that looks like, just for a moment. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 1. I'll just give you a little picture here of what the devil sees and what those principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places see when you stand strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And for folks who don't know, the book of Revelation begins with the Apostle John and Jesus appearing to him to give him this revelation. And verse 12 is where I'm going to start, and it says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, which are the seven churches, you'll find out later. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Now, can you look at the sun directly? You can't look at the sun directly. And this guy seems like a pretty scary guy, right? You turn around, not only, I mean, his feet aren't like my feet or your feet, they're burnished brass. You know, his eyes are a flame of fire, and there's a two-edged sword that's sharper than any two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, and his countenance is like the sun. So let's see how John responded. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now, this is the Apostle John falls at his feet as dead. Now, imagine, now the Apostle John had seen and walked in the power of God and confronted many enemies. Right? He was one of those, it was Peter and John who were at the gate called Beautiful. Remember? And they got beaten and everything. John's brother got his head cut off for the service of the gospel. John had seen many things. But when he saw Jesus in his glorified state, he fell at his feet as dead. Now, the enemies of God, they can't stand before him either. And see, when we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that's who the enemies see coming. All right? And we drive them back. They are afraid. I've listened to peppered throughout the testimony of people just in meetings this week. I don't know how much of it has come up in the preaching, but it's certainly come up in people just sitting around and fellowshipping and chatting. People like Robin or Scott or others here amongst us who the enemies of Christ could not even stand in the same room with them. They could be as close as Sue and I are, or even closer, and they could never look at them nor speak a word to them. They were completely shut up by the presence of the Lord. Now, the thing is that situation is not to the condemnation of that individual who's before you. Remember, we're battling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. See, those demonic forces that give them power, that give them strength, that give them those things that they usually use to attack people are completely disarmed by the power of God. And then what happens is now you have the opportunity in that place for those people to actually come to know the truth. See, when James is then following up and he's talking with such a person, say, hey, how come you couldn't talk to my mom? You couldn't even say hello to her. Well, what do you mean? I didn't do that. Oh, yes, you did. Why was that? Well, I don't like her or whatever. How do you know whether you like her? You never even talked to her. You want to know why you shut up and you couldn't talk? Because the spirit on you did not like the spirit on her. The spirit on you could not stand before the spirit on her. You want that to change? You're going to have to give up that spirit that's on you. You're going to have to humble yourself and receive the Lord, the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to even save you. You find what I'm saying? It opens up when people see the power of God, it then opens them up to hearing the truth of God. Now, I want to go back to Ephesians 6 for a moment. Here we go. So he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. This is verse 10. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, when John turned and looked, what he saw was that armor of God. See, that's what he saw. He saw that armor of God. Remember that he was girt about the loins and his paps, you know, with gold and the like. That's what he was seeing. There wasn't anything that was going to penetrate that. But it says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, the devil's been around longer than you and me. He's kind of learned a few things over the years that work with people and getting them off course. He's kind of expert in that kind of a thing. Whether it be fear, which is one of his chief tools, whether it be casting doubt on God's word, whether it be accusations against you for things that you have done. He throws all of these kinds of things and seeks to turn you out of the way. And his favorite tool is, of course, to lift you up in pride, to feed your pride, make you feel like you're somehow special, you're somehow better, and all of these other things. So when it talks about here that you put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, let's look at what this armor is then. He goes on, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Well, first of all, what's the evil day? It's today. Every single day, we have plenty of stuff we got to deal with and confront, right? I mean, let alone what we're going to have to deal with tomorrow. We have plenty of it today. We don't have to think anything about tomorrow. We got plenty on our plate right now. Right? And he goes, wherefore, well, he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, one of the issues there is, and Jesus is the truth, obviously, and the Word of God is truth, and all of these things are true. But the fact of the matter is just speak truth. You know, if you speak the truth and you tell no lie, then what do you have to ever be caught with your pants down with and be embarrassed about? Right? And people will come against you. You'll say something. Sometimes, I just tell you, sometimes you might say something to somebody and somebody hears about it and they come back, did you say thus and such? Remember we were talking a couple weeks ago about don't say anything to somebody else that you wouldn't say in the presence of the person? All right? Well, look, if what you spoke was the truth and they come, what do you have to be ashamed of? You say it to their face. Yes, I did. It happens to be true. You follow what I'm saying? You don't have to apologize for speaking the truth to somebody. They may not like it, but it's the truth that sets an individual free. And in and amongst ourselves, we have to speak the truth one to another because it's the truth that sets us free of the things that plague us. And he goes on and he says, so truth is actually a powerful tool. It's a protection to you, and it's a blessing unto others. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And we've talked about that righteousness. Look, one of the things we all know, every single one of us here know, is that I can't do enough to be righteous before God. I can't do enough to be righteous before God. You know, that's the whole purpose of what the law was to show me, is that I can't do enough to be righteous before God. And those that really thought they were doing great, remember the Pharisees and like, and Jesus said, you know, he says, you know, if you don't kill or you don't commit adultery and stuff, but I say if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Oh, crap. I mean, I didn't kill him. Isn't that good enough? But I just thought about it. You know what I'm saying? I wanted bad things to happen to him. Anybody here ever want bad things to happen to other people? I mean, I can't imagine there's one of us here who have not wanted bad things to happen to other people. It happens. Sometimes we want bad things to happen to good people. When I say good people, I don't mean in the sense that anybody's good, but people who are actually walking it out. We want bad things to happen to them so that they stop it and stop making us look bad. Right? I wish you would just stop that. Come back here and be like me, and then I won't feel so bad that you're doing it and I'm not. So we want to see them fall. We want to see them trip. We want to see them all of these different kinds of things, right? So what happens is we see, look, we are not righteous. That breastplate of righteousness is God's righteousness. All right, it's God's righteousness, which because he, as our brother, he has two cloaks. And he sees us naked out here. We don't have a cloak. So he gives us his cloak, which is the righteousness of God. He gives us that one, which is a free gift, which we receive by faith. Because he can't give us the righteousness of man, because that one you have to earn. And he's the only one who ever earned it.
So he gives us the righteousness of God, and we get to stand in that. And when we're wearing the righteousness of God, God doesn't see any sin. He doesn't see any sin on us. Absolutely none. Absolutely none. And we can walk free of that. And what he wants us to do is to walk free of that. And to walk in boldness because of that. And to walk being strong and of a good courage because of that. Because that's what's pleasing to him. Dwelling, moaning, and groaning about how bad we are is saying, we don't believe you and what you did is not sufficient for me. Walking in boldness in that and stepping out, and it is pleasing to him because that's why he died for us, so that others could see likewise. So he goes on and he says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, we all know the Great Commission there. It says, as you go, no, it actually says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And it goes on, in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall take up any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, who shall recover. They shall speak with new tongues. And if they take up any deadly thing, no, and if they, what's it, serpents. I forget if I said the deadly thing or if I didn't say the serpents, but either one. You had a rattlesnake in your yard this morning. Praise God. Didn't do you any harm, did it? And you were testifying today of how the Lord in his grace handled that for your animals, for you, for your wife, for everybody. Amen. In Jesus' name, Max. And so the thing is we don't have to fear the things that everybody else fears, right? But that part of go ye into all the world, we tend to think of as everybody has to run over to Africa or everybody has to run over to Asia or everybody has to run over. No. The reason why you have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace is you happen to use these feet to go places, don't you? I mean, you use these feet, most of you, I mean, I think all of you, I didn't see any of you fly in here. You all walked in here. I mean, I know that some people drove here and then walked in here and different things, but we all walk to places. You go to the grocery store, you're walking. You go to your workplace, you're walking. You walk around your house. You're walking around everywhere. If your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel, you are continuously in a place where you are prepared to share the hope of that gospel with people. You're prepared to share the love of God with people. And that's what it means to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, is you're always in that place. And what happens is you also, and this is a point, I mean, you've heard it said briefly, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words, right? We've all heard that. And Carter and I were talking this morning a little bit about some things, because Carter was talking about, you know, he reads in the scripture and he thinks how, you know, these guys did some extraordinary things. And he was talking about not having a proper fear of the Lord. And I get that. And he was talking about, like, if the Lord told him to do some of these things, he doesn't know that he could go do them. I said, you want to know how you get to the place where you can do them when he tells you how to do those big things? Yeah. What's that? And you know what the little things are called? Service. See, if you look back, we started last week, it was in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's talking about how the perilous times shall come. Why? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. When you serve another, you know what you're doing? You're putting them before yourself. So the way to defeat self-love and the way to grow in faith to do the great things of God is to serve others. Didn't Jesus say, greatest among you shall be servant of all? And actually, when over in Luke 17, it was where I was going to go today, but we'll skip it. You can read it yourself. Over in Luke 17, the disciples asked him, saying, Lord, increase our faith. Anybody like that? Lord, increase my faith. People say these things. Well, what was interesting is he said unto them, you know, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say unto this sycamine tree, be thee plucked up and be planted in the sea. It doesn't say cast into the sea. I can kind of see that when, you know, it's like the Hail Mary pass. Whoo, but he doesn't say throw it into the sea. He says, and be planted in the sea. And I'm just thinking, I'm walking around and, you know, I'm on the beach and I look out and there's this sycamine tree sitting on top of the, you know, sitting there healthy and everything, sitting out there in the sea, and there's no island around it or any other thing. And I'm thinking, what in the heck is that sycamine tree doing over there? Well, just what Jesus said it would do if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. And what was interesting is he immediately then goes into service. And he talks about how, which of you having a servant and the like, and who's been working out in your fields and doing all of these different things, when you come in, does not say unto him, fix that I may eat and have supper. And rather than telling him, look, no, you've been working all day, go eat yourself. You know, no, you say, fix and make me supper. And what was interesting is here's this servant working hard all day on all of these other different things. And he comes after a long day. His master comes home. His master says, you know, prepare, you know, the food for me so that I can eat. And he then goes and prepares the food for his master so that he can eat. And Jesus says, when you've done all that you've been asked to do, how are you supposed to consider yourself? A totally unprofitable servant. See, that concept of service there is the one which you are always on, you are always looking for how you can serve. And if you are always looking for how you can serve, what's going to happen is the Lord's going to open up opportunity. You're going to see ways in which you can serve. You're going to see, as Richard says, the grocery clerk who's having a bad day over there. And you can say, hey, honey, I see that you're having a bad day. I just want you to know Jesus loves you. Here, why don't you give me those things that are troubling you? And in just a short interaction with somebody, because you're looking at them rather than how can I as quickly as possible get out of this lane and get past this grumpy person, but because you actually love the other person, you extend that hand of the love of the Lord unto them. And they now know that Jesus loves them. I mean, isn't that what happened with Max as he ran into Scott? Not literally, thankfully. Might have hurt them both. But he ran into Scott, and he was talking about some of his issues, and Scott prayed for him, and the issues went away. And that got Max's attention. Got his attention. And Scott said, look, you know, just in the name of Jesus, you know, you can do these things. So Max starts using the name of Jesus on different things, and he finds his way over here where he didn't know how to get here. He finds his way around a bunch of different things because there's power. What's it say? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's what Scott was encouraging him to do. Amen, as Max said, and it worked. And it says, and above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We have some people getting baptized today in water. And one of the blessings of that baptism of water is that shield of faith. You know, what quenches a fiery dart? Water quenches a fiery dart. And when you are baptized into water, that shield is now about you, not just in front of you, but all around you. And that shield quenches those fiery darts. But if you know, it's interesting. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith. All right? So you stand in that place of refuge. You stand in that place of safety and security by faith, because with your eyes, you're going to see things that don't look particularly safe. David had the armies bearing down on him all the time, Saul's army bearing down on him. But the amazing thing is no matter how many times they tried to bear down on him, they never caught up with him. You know who caught up with who? David caught up with Saul. But because David would not touch the Lord's anointed, because even though Saul was in rebellion to God, he had been anointed by Samuel to be king. He would not touch him. He did not touch Saul. And in that, he had what happened with Saul? Saul had the opportunity to turn. Each time David did that, Saul said, "You are more righteous than I am." But unfortunately, Saul never turned. He acknowledged that truth, but it didn't change his behavior. You follow what I'm saying? It didn't change his behavior. But it didn't change the fact that the Lord was indeed a shield about David, did it? He was there, and his shield was sure. And it goes on, and it says, and it's talking about those fiery darts. And those fiery darts of the wicked are the fears, the worries, the mental anguishes, the accusations, you know, against you. Look, I mean, that's why Jesus died for me. I mean, yeah, devil, what you're saying may be true, but whoop-dee-doo. That's the blood of Jesus has washed all of that away. That has no more power over me in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, and I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. And you go forward in it. And take the helmet of salvation, because see, up here in your mind is where that battle takes place. That's where the battle takes place. That's where you have to fight. And that helmet of salvation, which was won for you by Jesus on the cross, is what you have to stand in. And in that, when you stand in that helmet of salvation, then the devil can't win that victory there. Instead, you prevail. And you're able to, where your mind goes, your body follows, right? When you choose to believe God, when you choose to be obedient to God, when you choose to serve others before yourself, it's happening right here in your mind. When you're all caught up in all your own worries and the different things that are going on with you and all of that stuff, you can't do those other things, can you? You're caught up in all these briars and thorns, the cares of this world. But when you're free of those things, because you believe, rather, the salvation of the Lord by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're able to go forward and do these things, and your body will follow. So, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's that place where that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Jesus is the Word of God. So the very name of Jesus itself has power and has been one that for me many times I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sometimes when I'm just in the midst of it, just the name of Jesus and nothing else is all I can get out. But on the other hand, as you grow in your knowledge and understanding of the Word, what's the beautiful thing is you're able to now take that sword and use it more deftly. All right? You're able to bring forth that word that opens up and shows the thoughts and intents of another person's heart that they had never seen before. And as those things come out, now that they can see them, they can go, oh my God, I don't want to be like that. And now you can share with them the hope of the gospel, that they can see the truth and receive and walk in it. When that word comes into a person's heart who is a believer and they see an area where they were wrong, that's where the chastening of the Lord comes in, and it reveals those areas and what their motives were that they had not seen before. And the like, it opens it up so that they don't have to continue operating like that. That you can go forward more abundantly in the grace and the love of the Lord because you're now free of those things. That's how your knowledge of the word of the Lord ends up being used as you go forward. And he ends here with praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. These are each acts of love and of faith in Christ Jesus. Prayer is an act of faith. When he's talking about praying in the Spirit, he's actually talking about praying in tongues, which is a blessing that you receive when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's a tool that allows you, for example, take me in my legal work, and as I'm working, it's not like I can be before the judge and saying, I pray for Jeannie. I know she's having a difficult day today. Lord, please just have grace and mercy on her. I mean, judge would go, what? What are you talking about? I'm cross-examining a witness. In the name of Jesus, I just pray, Lord, may you give Richard boldness to utter as he ought to speak today, because I know there's a service going on over there. People would be looking at me like, what in the hell kind of idiot is this? But in my spirit, which they can't hear, I can be praying in the spirit for you while I'm doing something completely unrelated, praise God. And what's amazing then in doing that is then when I come into contact with you or what have you, it's amazing how the Lord has the word for you that you need, not because I'm some great one or anything like that, but because I've been praying in the Spirit for you while I was doing the other things, and he's given me the interpretation when you happen to show up. And it's not like some interpretation where it's like at the United Nations where, you know, you hear this person speak and then it's like, this is what they're saying. No, it's just you say something to me and it's like Carter this morning. You know, he was saying something to me and I knew that Carter, he lives in Colorado and there's no other member of the fellowship who's out there. And he's struggling with, how do I grow in faith? How do I choose to fear the Lord? How do I do these things? And the Lord gave him a few simple steps while we're just sitting over there chatting, which if he will follow, the Lord will strengthen him mightily. Strengthen him mightily for the mission that the Lord has indeed called him to be, which he's called him to be an evangelist out there on the road. And so being alone out there at times doing that kind of thing is exactly where you're going to have to be. So you're in a place where you have the opportunity to now practice in these little ways that we are talking about. So when he sends you out and you have to stand in bigger ways, it'll just be another rung on the ladder. Just another rung in the ladder and you'll be able to do it. So praise God. And he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. See, and this is the thing, is that, look, Richard needs our prayers. I need your prayers. We all need one another's prayers. But in this thing, Richard, like Paul, has a calling and a ministry in which he is going to be, you know, we were talking about that flying V last night, in which he's the point man. He has to be prepared to speak. And it's anybody who's ever tried to stand out here and do it has a picture of, can be tiring, can be exhausting, can be scary, can be a bunch of different things. But he said, not wimpily, he said, boldly, as I ought to. And so we need to keep him in prayer in that he may indeed do that. And may we fall into line and go forward and join in that endeavor. Amen.
The power of the Spirit, the Bible, begins. The
cross itself against the knowledge of Christ.
Oh, Praise your name.
Praise Lord. Your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Well, today we have a lot of people that are heading out on the road. So, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all those who came out to visit, who came out to stay and learn and hear your word. And Lord, we ask that you be with them as they do their return travels and bring them back to us again. Lord, we thank you for your words. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask that you just be with us as we go out to protect us, to give us your word quickly, Lord, so that we may do your work. In Jesus' name, amen.